Live from New York City, it's the Gary Noll Show. And now, your host, Gary Noll.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Noll. Nice to have you with us today, and nice to have some of our listeners over at our sister station, WBAI, listening again. I just had a conversation about an hour ago with our program director, Tony Bates, and he said, Gary, we'd like to have you back 5 days a week, the way you were for 40 years. I said, okay. So we're back 5 days a week. And I want to thank those people for being patient. I'll get to a little bit of some of the issues involving that a little later in the program, but we always start with a lot of information to empower people. Today, vitamin C and vitamin E are associated with decreased risk of dementia. That's good for everyone. Quercetin, that's the nutrient that if you eat oranges and eat that little white peel or juice it, you're getting it. Onions are a great source of quercetin. Apples, too. It improves arthritis symptoms and disease activity in general. Also, if you don't have enough vitamin D, you can really shorten your lifespan big time. Well, we want you to live a longer life, so we'll tell you how much you have to have. Also, the brand name drugs, they're going up in price substantially. How much so? Well, some are going up as much as 100,000% over their generic cost. Wow. What is the single most important anti-aging nutrient out there? You thought it was resveratrol. It was. Then we were told it was L-carnosine. It was also. And vitamin D, yes. But also now NAD. What is NAD? It is a nicotinamide riboside. What does it do? Well, it boosts metabolism in humans, and I'll explain why that's a good thing. Melatonin at night helps you lower your blood pressure while you're sleeping. That can save strokes during the night. And higher DHEA levels associated with a lower diabetes risk. And also, there's association between magnesium and lower glucose and diabetes. That's important as well. So we've got all this stuff for you, plus more on health and healing. And we have some commentaries today. Chris Hedges, revolt is the only barrier to a fascist America. So we'll share that from Truthdig. Also, how the Clintons get tough on crime became a legacy for building the world's largest prison system and empowering the for-profit prison people and return to debtors' prison, which was outlawed in 1833. And how many people are caught up in that web? It is staggering. Also, a countdown to disaster, Trump's looming Afghan crisis, David Rosen. And then 10 years on, Iraq lies in ruins as new evidence confirms U.S. government used death squads to manufacture a phony civil war. This is from a Joe Quinn of Scott Net, a very good reporter. So let me get this right. We wanted regime change in a country that did not represent any direct or existential threat to the United States. So we first had to demonize Saddam Hussein so that the world wouldn't mind when his country was invaded and people died. But then to make sure that we got our way, we, the United States government, and its secret agencies, created death squads so that we then created death squads that would engage in sectarian fighting, Sunni against Shia. Yes, and finally the information truth comes out. So this means that those people who were responsible for these death squads can now be held accountable in an international court because they violated several different international treaties. And remember, there is no statute of limitations on prosecuting crimes against humanity. So this is something I'll share with you. From our audio file today, we have, well, we have, I'm going to start today with, I'm going to start with a woman who someone sent it to me and just said, watch this. And at first I was going to turn it off. But then I said, let's see what she has to say. And clearly she is angry. But her anger is revealing a truth that we all need to hear. So we edited it so that it would not offend people, because you use a lot of profanity. But what she says makes sense. And I'm going to have a talkback segment so you can share your point of view. Also, do you remember, must have been over half a year ago, I read an article about how chimpanzees had been used in medical experiments at the New York Blood Center, had been abandoned off in little islands with no food or water, starving to death in Liberia. Someone who's an animal rescuer, who's rescued primates that would otherwise died, someone who helped raise chimpanzee that otherwise would have ended up dying, that really touched me. You know, you see these creatures, when anybody goes down the river near them, they go out hoping that there's some food. And then when there's none, there's nothing for them to do. There's nothing there for them. They just drop them. How could any individual be that cruel? So I said that I would pay for the food if I could get someone who I could trust to actually buy them food and see that they were given food till we can set up a system. And then I was told that the International ASPCA was working on this. So, okay, good. I don't know if that's happened. So we're having them on this week to tell us what they've done, because I want to make sure these chimps that have survived are at least getting food and clean water and being brought together, because they're social creatures. They need one another. They suffer the same depression when isolated as humans. But I'm glad to see that they're confronting Michael Hoden of the New York Blood Center after abandoning these 66 chimpanzees with no water and no food on islands. And when I come back to New York off this trip, about 4 weeks from now, I'm going to be leading some demonstrations, but some people are already leading demonstrations, so I commend them from leading demonstrations, and I'll be helping with that. I'll play you a clip from that, where they confront him. Also, a Berkeley doctor, Dr. Hardin Jones, claims people die from chemotherapy more than they die from cancer. Okay, we'll listen to that. And then a leading neuroscientist states how Adderall, which by the way is as common as aspirin and how it's taken, is basically crystal meth, methamphetamine. And this he says in 34 seconds. And then just a reminder, what you're seeing in the mainstream media about how a socialized country destroyed itself, that's propaganda. So before you begin to believe that there needs to be an intervention in Venezuela, understand that these are all the front troops and trolls and the so-called experts who are all neocons lying. So we'll have a little report there on Hands Off Venezuela. So as you see, we try to take on the issues that make a difference in our lives. And let's begin, because we've got a lot to share with you today. We know that magnesium is important. In fact, magnesium has been shown in the journal, European Journal of Clinical Nutrition, to reduce plasma glucose. So when you have magnesium, you're lowering your blood sugar. And for diabetics, that's extremely important. So that means that when they looked at 12 randomized controlled trials involving 670 diabetics, and they followed them for 12 weeks, they found that those that had magnesium in their diet had substantially better outcomes with their blood sugar. And they were used against a placebo. So my suggestion is this. For those of you who are pre-diabetic, overweight, or diabetic, take 400 milligrams of magnesium right after your meal. And that will help control your blood sugar. And that can help prevent a lot of diseases. Now, something else can help us is melatonin. It lowers our blood pressure. This was done at Thomas Jefferson University, and they found that melatonin can help lower blood pressure in both the younger people and older people if you have hypertension or non-hypertension. And that's really good. We know that melatonin impacts the pineal gland, And the pineal hormone, melatonin, has been extremely beneficial for both clinical and experimental hypertension in older subjects because it's easy to test. So in this study, they found that people with high blood pressure who took relatively small amounts, it was 9 milligrams a night, and for 6 weeks were able to lower their blood pressure significantly. So, and we also know most people's strokes happen at night, generally around 3 o'clock in the morning. Now, I've already given you a preventative stroke protocol, and which would be cayenne, high heat unit, magnesium, 1,000 milligrams, L-carnitine, 1,000 milligrams, coenzyme Q10, 300 milligrams, vitamin C, 1,000 milligrams, and all of these are important in relaxing the arteries, relaxing the musculature, relaxing the heart, and oxygenating the heart. So now we can add melatonin in there. The body produces a master hormone. It's called DHEA. And now we see that when you have the right amount of DHEA, it impacts your risk of diabetes. They looked at 8,000 men and women over a 3-year period, and they found that those who were getting their DHEA each day had a 27% lower risk of diabetes in comparison to those who were in the lower third. So that's important. So get your DHEA, especially if you're over the age of 40. Now, you don't need a lot. I'm going to suggest that if you were to get 15 milligrams, 20 max, you're in good shape. Also, there's a lot of research on NAD. Now, I don't have it set up yet. By tomorrow, I will. But I did a very successful webinar about how to survive any disaster 3 weeks ago, Sunday night. I'm sorry to the people who could not get on. We did not anticipate the tsunami of people wanting on. Remember, we're heard all over the world. Other programs could be on different stations in the United States or the cable stations, which don't have many people watching. But we're number one progressive program in the whole world. And so we underestimated. So 3 times the day it was on, we kept going back, our chief IT person, and getting more bandwidth until we actually were on. So, but we do have it posted so you can go up and download it. In any case, it was important for 2 reasons, because not only was I explaining first a film, then 2 hours and 45 minutes, and also answering dozens of people's questions, best places to live and what to do, depending upon where you live, what kind of environment you need, or rural, urban, and country, and suburban. All those questions were addressed. And I gave an example of how I was in a film shoot, and I was going up the California coast, up to Ojai, out of L.A., and our cameraman said, "Oh, I live over in that area." I said, "Well, there's a fire over in that area. Let's take the time. We'll stop. Forget the filming. It'll wait. And we'll go get a trailer, hook it onto the back of this van, and put all your belongings that you can, paperwork, art, anything of value, and we'll take it out. We'll take it with us." "No, no, I'm fine." He didn't want to do it. I said, "Well, you know, there's a whole lot of houses around me, and we've never had a fire." "Well, he had a fire. He didn't want to do it." I pleaded with him. And so it's important when you have a chance to learn how to protect yourself, take it. Because after I finished a retreat, and I was going to take a trip off to do some additional filming for this new major film that will be coming out this summer I'm working on now. That's why I have about another 4 weeks before it's 100% done. I can return to the city. I got a call and that there's a small fire in the area of where my ranch is, where I live, my home. So I immediately hustled back. Now, because I took my own advice, and this just shows you how close to home it comes, that little fire of 100 acres became 500 acres, and then within 24 hours became 1,600 acres destroyed, and then within another 24 hours became 30,000 acres destroyed. And in fact, it was my whole area was evacuated. And I told them, I don't need to evacuate. I'm set. What do you mean you're set? Everybody's got to get out of here. You know, fire comes, you lose electricity. I said, I've got backup generators. Let me just tell you why it's so important to have that information. I had backup generators because the first thing that's going to go is your generator, your electricity, I should say. And then that means you have no water. So therefore, even if you had a garden hose, it's not going to, no water's going to come up because you don't have a water pump working. And so you got to have a backup generator, one that is the right size to work any sump pump. Also, if you have a swimming pool or pond, you have a sump pump, you throw it in, you hook it up to a portable generator, and now you've got water. But then a year ago, we went out and I got these three-inch hoses, kind you would see firemen using on a fire truck, and never had to use them. But then I made a modified, see how you want pressure to come out when you have a modified end, and you could do this so easy yourself. You have a 3-inch hose, then you bring it down to a 2-inch, then a 1-inch. So by the time the water comes out, there's so much pressure for it to get out that it could shoot 30 feet, but at a very high volume. So you've got a whole swimming pool, a whole pond. So you've got lots of water, and that's without even using your own well water. You soak everything down, but also if you have any building, and this is just some advice for everyone who has a home, get a sprinkler system. You won't even see it. And run it across the one end of your home to the other, then down the sides, underneath the overhang that all houses have, and have that on the outside, but on the inside, drill through the top of the roof, and you put this sprayer running the full length of upstairs. Now, you can't really see it. You just look up, and you might see a little, looks about the size of a little bowl. And what happens is, then when there's a fire in the neighborhood, you push that button, and suddenly your entire house is soaked outside. And then if it should get inside, you push it, and it goes on inside, so everyone and everything inside is soaked. Then you have the largest fire extinguisher. By the way, the largest fire extinguisher that you would need costs $59. So why doesn't every apartment have one? Everyone, every home needs a fire extinguisher for every building. And that way you have fire extinguishers. And then always get an extension ladder. And you have it, an extension ladder, so you're above your roof line on both sides of your house. And you have water hoses, the heavy-duty water hoses up there. You can also buy a fire retardant foam. Now you can put that down where your generator is with a simple attachment. And that simple attachment then feeds the fire retardant right in. So you're spraying the fire retardant right on your roof. And in a period of 5 minutes, you've covered your whole roof so that your roof won't catch on fire. It minimizes the chance of fire. And then you get, it's not much. It's only about $200. You can buy yourself a whole fire outfit. Gloves, hood, face, an oxygen piece inside. So if you have to go through a fire, or if you're inside and you've got to get out without being burned, then you put that on and you'll be okay. The simple things, these are not expensive. These are easy to do. And I already had all this in motion. So within an hour, we were ready. And we had soaked everything, soaked the trees, soaked the lawns. You just turn it on. Even the ponds, you let the ponds soak and overflow. And because water is not going to burn, you have no chemicals in it. So it's just overflowing. So all that's protected. So everything burned. My place didn't burn. Not a single thing. That's important. So just, it was just so coincidental. 3 weeks ago, I'm telling people what to do when disaster strikes, and disaster struck. And because I'd prepared and had everything in place, you know, nothing happened. So I want you to also realize, don't take it for granted, because nothing's ever happened. It won't. In any case, back to the NAD, I would not say it's better than L-carnosine or better than resveratrol. There are 5,000 studies on resveratrol, but it certainly is important. Why? Because of this. It's in every single cell of the body. NAD is an enzyme that plays a vital role in helping you have the youth you had when you were a teenager. You can read Nature Communications that reports on clinical trials with the nicotinamide riboside. It's a form of vitamin B3, but we know it is NAD, and it is extremely effective. It's more effective than niacin or nicotinamide by itself. It increases the sirtuin enzymes associated with longevity. And generally, it's 100 milligrams once a day, or if you really want an anti-aging protocol, it's 300 milligrams once a day, or if you are already older and you want to help reverse a lot of the aging of the cells, it's up to 1,000 milligrams a day, and it can make a difference. And we want what makes a difference. And finally, vitamin C and vitamin E in this study were shown in the Annals of Pharmatherapy to lessen the risks substantially of dementia. And they looked at 5,269 men and women who had no dementia when enrolled in the Canadian Study for Health and Aging. And they followed them for a period of 10 years. And then they did an examination, and they found out that those that had the highest input of vitamin C and vitamin E had a 38% lower adjusted risk of dementia from any cause. Now, mind you, we're not talking about increasing exercise, eating more fruits and vegetables, taking other nutrients that will also help prevent dementia, just vitamin E and vitamin C by itself. These were not even high amounts. These weren't even, 3,000 milligrams of vitamin C. I would start at 3,000 and go up to 15,000, and less than 200 units of vitamin E, I would start at 400 and go up. So, but still, it's good to know that it's there, and they've got it in their literature. Also, quercetin, Q-U-E-R-C-E-T-I-N, improves rheumatoid arthritis symptoms. That's according to the Journal of the American College of Nutrition. They found that quercetin in a randomized double-blind trial of women with rheumatoid arthritis, just 500 milligrams or a placebo each day for 8 weeks, and substantial difference in the erythrocyte sedimentation rate and high-density tumor necrosis factor alpha. Those are markers in your blood of inflammation. So vitamin, the quercetin did the job. I think 500 milligrams is way too small. I believe that we should go up to about 2,000 milligrams. And by the way, if you want to live a longer life, according to Cell Reports, take vitamin D. How much? I'm going to suggest 3,000 units a day to 5,000 would just be fine. That's the latest on health and healing, and also things that you should know if you have a home in the suburbs, or how many times you've heard people say, we just got out, we lost everything. Well, putting a permanent sprinkler system on the outside that you can do on the outside of your house and on the inside, that can protect your house, having fire extinguishers, extension ladders, and having larger hoses with an ever smaller opening that you manufacture yourself. You just make it yourself. And that way you can be protected, and then also have a backup generator. So when the power goes out, and it will in all probability, and the water goes off, which it would, you don't have to worry about that, because you're going to have water, water pressure, fire retardant protection, and can hopefully then save your life, your home. And we have a lot of fires, 36,000 of these fires in the last 12 months. That's 36,000. Back in a moment. Please stay with us. Oh, what you gonna do? You wanna get down? Tell me. Oh, what you gonna do? Do you wanna get down? Oh, what you gonna do? You wanna get out? Oh, what you gonna do? You wanna get down? Tell me. Nice to have you with us, everyone. I'm Gary Nall. Last week on Fox's Tucker Carlson, he interviewed Robert Kennedy Jr., who talked about, A, the difficulty of having any media cover the vaccine safety issue, and that he, Robert Kennedy Jr., who is pro-vaccine, vaccinated himself and all of his kids, but wanted Tucker to know that there were questions about the safety of mercury in his case, in vaccines, and why that you should at least be open enough to bring people on the air who can discuss this. Tucker was clearly completely unaware. He had no knowledge of vaccines, even talking about herd mentality, that's why we need it, which has been completely destroyed. I just want to share a few thoughts on that and then give you some calls to action material that can help you get this message to Tucker Carlson. The mainstream media's coverage of the vaccination debates, whether or not vaccines are safe and effective, and whether they may be a fundamental cause for the rising rates of childhood mental disorders and physical illnesses, has been dismal. There is no honest debate in the public media today. There is no ethical debate as to whether vaccination warrants mandates. And yet in every single state, ALEC, the American Legislative Exchange Council, is working behind the scenes on behalf of its vaccine corporate sponsors to make sure that your child has no choice, you have no choice, and to get it mandated. Corporate domination of the drug industry is not the only force pressing honest, objective discussion about vaccinations' pros and cons. Lack of education and a pervading ignorance about the immunological science and the large body of medical literature that cautions vaccines' risks and life-threatening consequences are equally rejected. Fox's Tucker Carlson's recent interview with Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is a case in point of the extent that media pundits will go to jabber on subjects that they are lacking sufficient education, even if they have the good intent. And I respect Tucker Carlson for at least saying that, you know, we should have some open dialogue. But then he turns right around and attacks Jeannie McCarthy as if, oh, here's this, you know, blonde on television. Gee whiz, that sounds a little sexist, Tucker. As if she is the only person representing the millions of children who have been adversely affected by vaccines. Just the vaccine injury court itself, which is the most difficult court in America to win in, even more difficult than the Supreme Court, has awarded $3.5 billion in damages, including in 81 cases where it was shown that there were neurological damages, including autism. So one area of the government says there is no association between autism and vaccine. That's the CDC, and we know how corrupt they are. And then the other vaccine court, which is a government agency, it says, yes, there are, and we've given out money based upon good science showing this damage. And also, I believe it's time that Robert F. Kennedy, who I have a lot of respect for, he's done an enormous amount of good with the River Project and cleaning up the river and helping close down the Indian Point nuclear power plant. I believe that he should sit with some of the people that I know, or myself, all of us who've done more than 12 to 14,000 hours of scientific research on the safety and efficacy, and every point that he would give me as to why he's pro-vaccine, I could give him points why he should re-question that, because the scientific literature is not there to support pro-vaccine any longer. And the more you research, the more distant that lesson becomes. There is also a growing problem within the anti-vaccine community itself. A division has occurred between those who only advocate for safer vaccines. That's Andrew Wakefield and Robert Kennedy and many of the people in the autism community. They believe in vaccines. They just want safer vaccines, which would require the removal of certain ingredients, most notably mercury. And a growing contingent of scientists, journalists, and victims, parents, who have looked at the scientific evidence, they've had to, something they would never have done. They've gone into the scientific literature and they found the evidence to conclude that all vaccines are wreaking havoc on children's bodies. Now, this latter group opposes vaccines in general due to the severe lack of credible scientific, legitimate literature to conclude their safety and efficacy. The unfortunate consequence is this internal debate within the so-called anti-vax community may be confusing the public, and people end up believing that it is only the toxic ingredients in a given vaccine preparation that threaten their children's health. Yet they remain unaware of the many other long-term adverse effects of vaccines that inflict damage to an immune system and other body systems. Those who only advocate for the removal of mercury are not looking at the 10 times more studies on the dangers of aluminum or polysorbate 80 or formaldehyde. There's over 230 different ingredients allowed in vaccines. None of them have been proven safe in any given study to all people taking a vaccine, nor is their efficacy also. It is also valuable to understand that the anti-vaccine movement has now gained hundreds of new physicians and scientists and journalists who've taken the time to finally do the homework for themselves. So here's what I'm doing as of today. For those in this audience, I'm giving you a list of the people and organizations that have credible knowledge, in-depth knowledge. They were all pro-vax before they did their homework. I'm also going to give you on my website of my latest award-winning documentary called The Silent Epidemic. Watch it. Then I'm giving you dozens of articles written by our scholars and research and myself showing you that everything that you've been told about vaccines are lies, all fake science. And it's fully documented. You could take my articles into any court of law. That's how much scholarship goes into them. You'll know about Dr. Tony Bark and Dr. David Ioba and Dr. Teresa Benstock and Dr. Kelly Brogan and Professor Brian Hooker and Dr. Suzanne Humphreys and Dr. Joseph Marcola and Dr. Tatiana and Dr. Lawrence Pavinsky and Dr. Christoph Plothy and Dr. Dev Rana, Dr. Michael Schachter, Dr. Professor Stephanie Seneff of MIT and Dr. Matt Stoller, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, Dr. Tony Banks, Professor Luigi Tomlevich, Dr. Joan Whitaker. These are credible doctors and scientists. These are just some of the ones. But when Tucker says, gee whiz, who's out there except it's kind of this blonde person on television? Well, she wasn't a blonde person on television. She was a vaccine-injured mother who did her homework along with her partner at the time, the comedian Jim Carrey, and they were able to use their celebrity status to galvanize others to go to Washington. I went down there. I filmed them marching to ask questions about the safety and efficacy of these vaccines. So instead of putting it in the proper context, you're using that typical Fox, you know, one dimension reality. I wished you would broaden it out. So we're sending you a list of people specializing in medical vaccine injuries. You want a list of all the people who can give you the science, the lawyers such as Robert Krakow and Diana Miller and Alan Phillips? We have them. And the experts like Roman Bistrinic and Hillary Butler and Christina England and James Grundjev and Louise Habakkus and Zen Honeycutt and Jeffrey Jackson, Sayer G., Vera Schneibner, Vera Saroff, we have them as well, and Jim Turner. We have the organizations. So they're all posted today. So please, for those of you who still do not know the safety and efficacy issues of vaccines, you now have a documentary. You have individuals you can contact. You have websites you can contact. You have dozens of articles you can download and read and share with one another. And send these over to Tucker Carlson. He seems like a nice guy. He seems like at least if you present a reasonable argument, he will be open to it. And that is what we want, to educate those who are willing to be educated, and that will help the whole cause. Now, on a separate issue, all the time people are telling me how concerned they are with the state of the world. Well, every day this week, every day, I'm going to be doing a commentary, either my own or from someone I respect, on the wars that we have been in, what lessons we have not learned, and why, if we don't learn these wars, we're just going to continue inflicting pain and destruction on America and other countries, more often on other countries, all because a group now is in total control of Washington. I'll be going into depth of who they are. In fact, tomorrow night on the Progressive Commentary Hour, I have some real heavyweights on, some people who just gave a conference at Yale to talk about what kind of person is Donald Trump. Okay. Well, you think you know? Maybe you don't. Dr. John Gartner on Trump's mental state and the psychology in general, people in Washington, D.C., the neocons, the fascists, the sociopaths, the psychopaths. And we're also going to look at Hillary and Bill Clinton, people who've been in power, George Bush, Ronald Reagan. I want to know, what does this person think about their types of mindsets? You know, what leads people to be so wrong and yet never have the decency or the mindset to apologize? Later in this week, we'll be talking with the Humane Society on the New York Blood Bank and the Liberian chimps that are dying. We'll also have tomorrow Professor James Foreman from Yale Law School. He is an African-American attorney and public defender and founder of the Maya Angelou Public School. And he'll be speaking on the criminal justice system and racism inherent in it, and basically the story of mass incarceration in the U.S. today. And also later, we will have on Amitrav Goish, who is one of the great minds. What a mind. And we'll be having him on for our Conversations with Remarkable Minds series. So we have some interesting people coming. In any case, I'm going to keep hitting on this whole idea that the ruling elites, people in power, people who have so much and choose to give none of it away or to help others, what's wrong with them? Well, we have to go back to something that Chris Hedges shared with us. Go back to the 1960s. Why? Because it was in the 1960s that this terrified group of ruling elites mobilized, and they mobilized the left by building counter-institutions to delegitimize and marginalize critics of corporate capitalism and imperialism. They bought the allegiance of the two main political parties. They imposed obedience to the neoliberal ideology within academia and the press. And this campaign, laid out by Lewis Powellan in his 1971 memorandum titled Attack on American Free Enterprise System, was the blueprint for the creeping corporate coup d'etat that 45 years later is complete. Does it look like a coup d'etat to you? Have we had any media discussion that we have no civilian oversight of the armed forces, no undersecretary of army, undersecretary of navy, no secretary of defense who is a civilian? What does it mean when the entire military-industrial complex in Washington, D.C. is dominated by pro-war, preemptive strike, pro-nuclear strike generals? That's what we have. But we didn't get there before we first engaged in the destruction of democratic institutions, places where the citizen has agency and a voice, is far graver than the ascendancy to the White House of the demagogue Donald Trump. The coup destroyed our two-party system. It destroyed labor unions. It destroyed public education. It destroyed the judiciary. It destroyed the press. It destroyed academia. It destroyed consumer and environmental protection. It destroyed our industrial base. It destroyed communities and cities. And it destroyed the lives of tens of millions of Americans no longer able to find work that provides a living wage, cursed to live in chronic poverty or locked in cages in our monstrous system of mass incarceration. This coup also destroyed the credibility of liberal democracy. the self-described liberals, such as the Clintons and Barack Obama, mouth the words of liberal democratic values while making war on these values in the service of corporate power. The revolt we see rippling across the country is a revolt not against a corporate system that has betrayed workers, but also, for many, liberal democracy itself. It's very dangerous. It will allow the radical right under a Trump administration to cement into place an Americanization of fascism. It turns out, 45 years later, that those who truly hate us for our freedoms are not the array of dehumanized enemies cooked up by the war machine. Remember, it was the Vietnamese, then the Cambodians, the Afghanis, and the Iraqis and Iranians, or even the Taliban and Al-Qaeda or ISIS. They are the financiers, the bankers, the politicians, the public intellectuals and pundits, the lawyers, the journalists, the business people cultivated in the elite universities and business schools who sold us the utopian dreams of neoliberalism. We are entering the twilight phase of capitalism. Wealth is no longer created by producing or manufacturing. It is created by manipulating the prices of stocks and commodities and by imposing a crippling debt peonage on the public. Our casino capitalism has merged with the gambling industry. The entire system is parasitic. It is designed to prey on the desperate young men and women, burdened by student loans, underpaid workers, burdened by credit card debt and mortgages, towns and cities forced to borrow to maintain municipal services. Casino magnates like Sheldon Adelson and hedge fund managers like Robert Mercer add nothing of value to society. They do not generate money, but instead redistribute it upwards to the 1%. They use lobbyists and campaign contributions to build monopolies. This is how the drug company Mylan raised the price of EpiPen used to treat allergy reactions from $57 to $500 and to rewrite laws and regulations. They have given themselves the legal power to carry out a tax boycott, loot the U.S. Treasury, close factories, send jobs overseas, gut Social Security programs, and impose austerity. They have, at the same time, militarized our police, built the most sophisticated security and surveillance apparatus in human history, and used judicial fiat to strip us of our civil liberties. They are ready should we rise up in defiance. These Mandarins are, if we speak in the language of God and country, traitors. They are parasites. Financial speculation in 17th century England was a crime. Speculators were hanged. The heads of most of today's banks and hedge funds and executives of large corporations such as Walmart and Gap that run sweatshop death traps of impoverished workers overseas deserve prison far more than most of the poor students of color that end up in there. When a tiny cabal seizes power, Marxistic, communist, fascist, or corporate, it doesn't matter, it creates a mafia economy and a mafia state. Donald Trump is not an anomaly. Nope. He is the grotesque visage of a collapsed democracy. Trump and his coterie of billionaires, generals, half-wits, dim-wits, intellectual, stunted, I can't think of a word that would put them low enough on the human scale of evolution for me to describe them. They're right beside the Christian fascist, criminals, racist, deviants, all played the role of the Snopes clan in one of William Faulkner's novels. The Snopes has filled the power vacuum of the decayed South and ruthlessly seized control from the degenerated former slaveholding aristocratic elites. Flem Snopes and his extended family, which included a killer, a pedophile, a bigamist, an arsonist, a mentally disabled man who copulates with a cow, and a relative who sells tickets to witness the bestiality. God, that sounds like someone running for president or at least governor, are fictional representations of the scum now elevated to the highest levels of the federal government. They embody the moral rot unleashed by unfettered capitalism. What comes next? History has shown it will not be pleasant. A corrupt and inept ruling elite, backed by the organs of state security and law enforcement, will unleash a naked kleptocracy. Workers will become serfs. The most benign descent will be criminalized. The ravaging of the ecosystem propels us towards extinction. Hate talk will call for attacks against Muslims, undocumented workers, African Americans, feminists, intellectuals, artists, and dissidents, all of whom will be scapegoated for the country's stagnation. Magical thinking will dominate our airwaves and will be taught in our public schools. Art and culture will be degraded to nationalistic kitsch. All the cultural and intellectual disciplines that allow us to view the world from the perspective of the other, that foster empathy and understanding and compassion, will be replaced by a grotesque and cruel hyper-masculinity and hyper-militarism. Those in power will evaluate everything, and hence they will validate racism, bigotry, misogyny, and homophobia. What is our hope? Stop cooperating. Stop giving them the power over you. Now let's go over and hear what one woman has to say. Now, here's what you're not seeing. And this is why, first when I saw it, I didn't know why this particular person who I respect would have sent it to me. It is of a woman. She is, I'm guessing, in her mid-40s, African-American. She looks like she's on a little balcony off an apartment. And she's naked. And it kind of catches you. And then here's what she has to say. Again, listen to the message that she is sharing. I think it's important we hear it.
So I woke up today to something very, very, very interesting. I woke up to my account on Instagram being deleted because apparently I posted something that was nude or that was sexually charged. I don't know what I posted, but that's what they said. And that just really pissed me, okay, because I'm kind of tired of with these social media platforms and with the world as a whole. Because this is bigger than Facebook. This is bigger than Mark Zuckerberg. This is bigger than all of that. This is about you being more comfortable with me standing out here, beating somebody, hitting them in the head with a shovel, shooting them, killing them, kicking them. That makes you more comfortable than sitting here looking at my neck. That's a problem, okay? We really need to check that out. Let's just think about how violence is much more accepted than nudity or sexuality. Let me dumb this down for a lot of y'all, folks, okay? When somebody is hit in the head, or there's a fight video, or someone is punched or kicked or slapped or killed, it causes physical and emotional pain. But when it goes inside of a vagina or a mouth, or well, sometimes it may hurt at the beginning, but you know what the point is. It is positive. It feels good when it goes in, but yet you feel worse when you look at it. Ain't that interesting? We love kids, but we hate the act that creates them. We love kids, but we hate how they come out of the womb. But naked, just like me. Huh. I think it's really interesting how a video can go viral of someone being killed. Bleeding. It's not special effects. Bleeding for real on social media can be taken down. The account holder's stuff totally removed. But yet a video can circulate for months and years of a fight video of somebody getting hit. Do we not see what the problem is? If you were sitting right here with your child, you, oh, cover your eyes, Timmy. You can't see that. But if I was sitting here dressed up like Scorpion in Mortal Kombat, beating Sub-Zero, that'd be okay. Why is it that sex scenes are not acceptable on TV, but violent scenes are? I don't care if it is Freddy Krueger, a fictional character, or if it's about a true event. The fact that violence is okay and sex is not is a problem. The fact that a 179,000-pound man with titties bigger than mine can walk up and down the street and not have a problem, not get arrested for public indecency, but yet because I happen to have, I can have the same amount of, I can be flat-chested, and a woman's areola and nipple is cause for concern. This is something to think about. The people making the rules, I'm calling y'all because it is you. These billionaires and millionaires and the Mark Zuckerbergs of the world and these CEOs, and y'all are the ones that are making phone sex operators rich, sex workers rich, webcam models, strippers, escorts. It's you that's spending your money getting these other women wealthy, but yet you shun it whenever it's out in public. Another thing that is an issue is how if somebody has a sex scandal, I don't know, let's say you find out a governor has a foot fetish. All of a sudden, you don't know if you're going to vote for him next time. Something wrong with him. But yet, if something violent is happening, you're cool with it. Why is it that someone liking sex is affects their business? Don't you like sex? The porn industry say you do. The statistics on the sex industry say you do. The fact that we got all these rich sex workers say you do. Black people, it is mostly you. I'm gonna be real. Okay? I'm gonna be real. It's mainly black women. Okay? It's a lot of y'all. But black people as a whole. Yes, I understand that we have conservative white folks that make some of the rules. I understand all that. But this is really for my black people. You are the most sexually repressed. You are the most sexually shamed people in the world. You're the most sexually judgmental, but you're doing some of the most goddamn, all right? A lot of black folks got plenty of goddamn babies. Yes, people of all races have babies. But I don't know stats. The last time I checked, there's a lot of premarital going on. There's a lot of raw going on. And you're doing it. But yet you got your mouth turned out when you see it in public. I am making you think about it. It is a problem. Sexual oppression is an issue, and it all starts with idiots reporting pictures because it's something negative. But you like it and comment and share a video of Trayvon Martin being killed.
Okay. It went on for about another minute. So here's the question that she's raising in her own way. Why is it that we have a hard time allowing women to fulfill their sexual destinies, to have their own ideas and their own expressions of their own sexuality and their desires and fulfillment? And yet we really polarize this issue, and then we condemn people. And she's referring to how many African-American women have been shamed. And yet, why aren't we shaming the culture of violence? And that was, to me, the larger message she was sharing. That the moment there is violence, people share that without thought. But when we can't handle, you know, a woman in her nudity, that offends people. Why? Shouldn't violence, death, harming, beatings, shouldn't that offend us? That's a dialogue that is needed in our society that we're not having, and that's unfortunate. We did it one time, then we took it down off our talking list. I'm going to play another piece now. And this is I'm going to play this one. A leading neuroscientist states on how Adderall is basically crystal methamphetamine. Listen to what he has to say.
So when we think about methamphetamine, think about Adderall. Adderall is the attention deficit disorder drug that a lot of college students take.
Yep.
Same drug. Nobody's talking about.
It's not the same drug.
It's the exact same drug. The only difference is that methamphetamine has a methyl group attached to it. But we did a study in which we, along with other people, in which we tested the effects of a drug like Adderall compared to methamphetamine. They produced identical effects. They are almost identical chemically in terms of the chemical structure. They're the same effect.
Yep, he's right. Now imagine 10 million American children every day waking up being told that they have a mental disorder, a brain chemical imbalance to which they must take Ritalin, or they're taking Prozac. They're also taking the drugs that are across the counter, or they're taking Adderall. Then they go to school and they act up. Then suddenly a normal kid wants to hurt others, starts hearing voices, believes people against them, becomes paranoid and psychotic. Remember Bowling for Columbine? That's exactly what happened. I went out there and filmed all those people. That's what they told me. It wasn't the guns. It was them taking the psychiatric drugs. 95% of all mass killings in the United States in the last 25 years has been when people are on psychiatric drugs. And we're not looking at that. That's how much power the industry has to keep the media from even asking the question, could the drugs the kid been on, what caused him to go in and kill his family, himself? Oh, no. It was that he had access to a gun. We've gotten it so wrong on this. It's time that we took an honest look at these drugs and what it means to allow our children to be diagnosed with these false diagnoses, and also allowing the vaccines. One of the side effects of vaccines we have found, particularly mercury, which is a neurotoxin, is you don't end up with autism, but you end up with hyperagitated central nervous system. You have what's called akesthesia. You can't sit down. We then say that it's a brain chemical imbalance. It's not. It's damage to the brain cells themselves. Can we help the person? Yes, but not if you start putting them on drugs. And that's what we're doing. And finally today, Abby Martin had a very short 40-second clip about before you judge Venezuela by everything on the internet. Remember, it's not in crisis because it's a failed socialist state. Now, warning, don't go socialism anywhere in the world because you end up like Venezuela. There's more to it. Let us look at the more to it. She's just giving us a reminder why we should not judge.
For my entire life, I've watched the corporate media sell us war after war, always telling us who our enemies are, which countries need saving, and which governments should be overthrown. And every single time, it turns out they lied. All their interventions did was ruin entire nations along with millions of lives. As I watch the mass media coverage of Venezuela today, coupled with covert regime change operations and overt threats of intervention from the Trump regime, I say in a clear voice that we don't believe you anymore. And the only just stand the U.S. government can take is keeping their hands off of Venezuela.
I would agree with that. We'll be doing a full report on what really has caused Venezuela to collapse on an upcoming program. I'll look forward to seeing you all tomorrow. Have a nice day, everyone.